This is episode number 179 with Alex Scharfen. Welcome to the Success 101 Podcast. This is your host, Jared Warren, and each episode, my goal is to bring you a new concept or idea to help you maximize your full potential. Thanks for joining me here today. Now let's kick things off. All right, everybody, welcome back. Welcome back to the one and only Success 101 Podcast. So glad you're here today, and I'm excited for many reasons, but because of the incredible show that we have, I cannot wait to bring this out to you guys with my good buddy, Alex Scharfen. I've kept up with Alex's work for quite a while, but it wasn't until recently that we had a chance to do this podcast and realize the amazing connections that we had. From business to biohacking and everything in between, faithful listeners of the Success 101 Podcast who are tuning in to hear a message of peak performance, hold on, because you're certainly going to hear one today. I'm thrilled to bring this to you guys as Alex shares his momentum message with us today. As we all strive for higher levels of peak performance, I would argue there's a lot you guys are going to take from today's message. Before we dive into this awesome show that I cannot wait to get into, I wanted to let you guys know that my team still has my book, From Success to Significance, available for just the shipping cost, and the ebook reader for international orders outside of the U.S. Just head to success101podcast.com/book. If you're in the United States, pick the paperback version, or you can grab the e-reader if you want, but the paperback version is going to give you the chance to put Success 101 in the promo code where you can get it for just the shipping cost. The ebook reader is about the same price for international orders. Just make sure you select ebook reader at success101podcast.com/book. I've gone back to doing some reviews on the live episodes lately because I'd gotten away from it. People started asking, when is that going to come back? And I've had a ton of fun diving into the 6 vision building exercises, the 5 components for creating your strategy, and now we are into exacting implementations for those of you who are keeping up. If you haven't heard those episodes, please go back, take a listen, and grab the book so that you can follow along and fill out the exercises as I go through them. Many of you have been writing in lately about the human charger and how it's impacting your life, resetting your circadian rhythms, helping you stay out of jet lag, and helping you crush the day more than anything. You guys know that I've used the human charger for quite some time, and what seems like it could be a gimmick, which I thought so at first, actually has an incredible amount of science behind it. In fact, it wasn't until recent years that researchers found that the photoreceptor proteins on your brain, when exposed to light through the ear canal or the nose, respond the same way as the light components in the retinal part of your eye. So basically, guys, it's like staring at the sun. You pop in these small, bright white with blue light infused LED earbuds, and after a 12-minute session, you are ready to rock and roll. It cuts down on caffeine. Great for jet lag, great for resetting circadian rhythms, and I'm so glad people are tuning in to how important light is. Head to success101podcast.com/human charger, and in the promo code at checkout, enter success101 to grab 20% off of this amazing bright light device. Now, on to our show. Alex is a visionary. In previous years, Alex worked as a consultant directly with some of the largest organizations in the world, including Microsoft, Canon, Logitech, and Kodak. He's the co-founder and CEO of Scharfen and has spent much of his life seeking to understand how to make businesses grow. Through his research and years as a top consultant to billionaires, the Fortune 500 and Global 100, Alex began to discover the long misunderstood entrepreneurial personality type. In fact, you guys have heard me talk about Robin Sharma before and how much I love his work. Robin recently described Alex as the most progressive entrepreneurial mind on the planet. Pow, mind blown. To have Robin Sharma say that about you, you got to be doing a few things right. He's a highly sought after speaker on entrepreneurial awareness. He's spoken around the world, guys, for tens of thousands of entrepreneurs and top global businesses to help them identify and live in their strengths. He's been highlighted in everything from MSNBC, Fox News, Wall Street Journal, USA Today, and loves the idea of momentum and teaching that to the people he surrounds himself with. This is going to be an episode, guys, you want to take plenty of notes on. So without any further delay, let's jump right into my episode with Alex Scharfen. What's up, guys? Welcome back to the Success 101 podcast. I'm so excited to bring Alex Charfin to you guys today. What's going on, buddy?
Jared, I'm pumped to be here, man. Thank you for having me.
Man, I am super excited to have you on. And I think your story might be a little bit different than other guests that I've had on just because I found out about you in the entrepreneurial space. I knew you were doing a lot to consult with billionaires. I think we might even dive into your entrepreneurial personality type and just know that you're a regular contributor, as I said in the intro, to Wall Street Journal, MSNBC, Fox News, and others. And then it wasn't until probably 6 months ago I started really diving in. I saw a blog post or a video or something, and I was like, man, this guy is so about biohacking and health response, turning your life around, really dug into your story about you not really being a fit kid, but kind of hacked your way to health, so to speak. And I thought, man, this is so awesome whenever I found out I was going to be able to get you on. And I'm just so thrilled to be able to dive in for our audience today and just see where we take this with some actionable points and getting everybody excited about just hearing about your journey and what you've got going on today.
Thanks, Jared. I think anyone who listening to these podcasts is probably an entrepreneurial personality type. You brought it up, so I'll just throw it out there. And you know, the way that I define the entrepreneurial personality type is that we are momentum-based beings that are highly reactive to constraint, and we are physiologically connected to our world. And I think what you're doing is so crucially important because, you know, we talked just a little bit before the podcast. I think you and I have similar backgrounds. There was a point in time in my life where I created a tremendous amount of success, but I lost all momentum. And, you know, the people in my world were looking at me as the person to be. And the fact was, you know, I was in poor health. I felt terrible every day. I felt bad getting out of bed. Everything hurt. I was inflamed.
Tell us, Alex, what age was this that you were kind of thinking about experiencing all that?
So I'm 44 now. Well, maybe we can just go through a quick background, Jared. It's easier to do it that way.
Yeah, that'd be super helpful.
Okay, so super helpful. I was always a super awkward kid. Like, I want everyone to understand how I came about to biohacking. So you have to understand that it started with me being like an insanely awkward kid where I was one of the ones where like adults would moderate their voice. They'd say, hey, look, there's Jared and Jennifer and Alex. And I knew it. You know, there's no mystery to me. I was told I was disordered, disabled. I had dyslexia, dysmorphia, dysgraphia. 1 year I was in special education. The next year I was in gifted and talented. It was incredibly confusing. And so as a kid, I didn't really turn to the same systems everybody else did for help. And I started reading self-help books. I'm assuming you've probably read your share, right? And
Jerry, Oh, yeah.
Do you know what I'm talking about when I say that sometimes when you're reading self-help books, like if you get to the 10th book, the 10th one starts arguing with the second.
Yeah.
And then you realize like the seventh really had some conflict with the fourth. And the eighth tells you that the rest of the other nine that you read probably didn't matter. And do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Or in the health world, you wait enough time and then people start coming out saying, hey, all this, you know, information that such and such had put out that you guys have been following for the last 10 years is all completely wrong. And then everybody's just confused, right?
Right, right. Well, that happened to me as a kid. I started reading self-help and it was like everything pointed in different directions. And so I just started obsessing over successful people. And I read biographies and life histories and third-party accounts and anything that I could get my hands on around people who were successful. And, you know, I went looking for greatness. I went looking for these qualities that these people had that I didn't have. I was a natural failure in everything. You know, people say, oh, I was a natural talent in, and I always think like, oh man, I never know what to fill in there because I wasn't. But when I started reading about successful people, when I started obsessing about people throughout history who had done something that mattered, I couldn't stop reading. I read, you know, biographies and then 200 and 300. And here's what happens. When you read 10, everybody looks different. When you read 30, 40, 100, 200, 1,000, you start seeing some patterns. Throughout history, the most successful people in the world are more alike than different. And every one of us has been convinced that we are singularly alone. And so as a kid, I went looking for something that wasn't me. And I had this realization that people who were successful were just like me. And I think anyone listening probably knows what I'm talking about because, you know, we all heard something about somebody that made us feel not so alone. I remember when I heard that Einstein couldn't talk until he was four, couldn't tie his shoes and wear the same clothes every day because it confused him. Like I had a friend in Einstein. And so my background was, you know, the only place I felt comfortable was business. As a kid, I started working with my dad. When I was in college, I started a business with a friend of mine. We ended up selling it. And at 21 years old, I moved out to, or 20 years old, I moved out to Florida. I made it 8 months of a 12-month buyout. I ended up out there with really nothing to do. And I went to like this fluke interview where a friend of mine was an experienced consultant. We were interviewing with Fuji, which was huge multinational company, one of the top in the world. And I was going with him because I didn't have anything else to do, Jared. At 21 years old, we went to that interview, got Fuji Media as a client, and I became a consultant at the Fortune 500 level at 21. Like, I didn't know what to say, what not to say. It was like deep end of the pool. I mean, I tell people, here's why I shared this story, because at 21, I was presented with this massive opportunity to be around some of the most successful people in the world. I ended up in the C-suite of huge corporations. You know, I had clients like Microsoft and Targus and Logitech, and I already named Fuji, SanDisk. We helped put the first flash memory into the US market. We, you know, I was part of the computer, the photographic revolution. You know, we worked at one point, Apple attended one of our events. Like, we had an incredible business. And at one point I had read that Bill Gates didn't take a day off in his 20s. So I was like, well, if he can do it, I can. And so from 21 until my early 30s, I built a $250 million company with 14 offices in the US and Latin America and people around the world representing massive manufacturers. And because I didn't know what I was doing,
wow,
I got it to a massive organization, but it was built directly around me. And if I didn't show up, the trains didn't go. And it was at the point where it was growing to the point where I didn't know how to make it better. I had just met my now wife, Katie, but prior to that, I hadn't done really well with women. So when I met Katie, I was like, man, I'm not going to screw this up. I went to a doctor's appointment and I knew things had gotten bad because I was wearing a 44-inch pant waist, which is huge. And just for perspective, when I was 21, I was a 31-inch waist and I weighed about 225 pounds. I had been bodybuilding since I was 15. And I had just, everything had torpedoed because here's what happens. You know, I was traveling constantly. I was stressed out of my mind. I was working 12, 14 hour days, 6 days a week, sometimes 7 days a week. I played golf once or twice a week because I had to. And then I'd just go right back and work. And on the days I played golf, I'd sleep less. And, you know, I created this insane amount of success and notoriety and wealth and incredible relationships, but I almost died. I was 31 years old and I went to a doctor's appointment and I was his most likely candidate for a heart attack. And he had an aging population in South Florida.
I'm surprised in a corporation that you had built or basically an empire that you had built around you. I mean, most of the people that we're watching today that are running super successful companies or businesses or, you know, what have you, they've got some people in their corner that are really helping them with a lot of the health and any medical issues that are going on, whatever. They've got a, you know, it's not like they have lack of shortage of people in their corner. Did you have anybody pulling you to the side saying, hey, man, I'm a little bit concerned here? Putting on weight, you're not healthy, you don't look good. What, I mean, did you have any of that or was it kind of you just running?
Not really, Jared. You know, I was in this consumer electronics industry and like, it's a unique, you know, everything you read about being a consultant at that level is true. It was constant partying, taking people out, entertaining clients, you know, drinking and having a good time with people is a near requirement. Like, I don't know how you could do it otherwise or how back then. And healthy was snack wells and Diet Coke. And you know, if you didn't really know what, and I'm not kidding, like really, if you went to a gym, there was more people drinking Diet Coke in the early 90s than drinking water, and especially the late 80s.
Wow.
In fact, like when people open the Diet Coke bottle and goes, shh, like you used to hear that all the time in the gym, shh, somebody do it. I mean, we thought it was hydrating. The story about Diet Coke was it tastes better than water and it's the same and because there's no calories. And so I didn't really have a lot of help. I was drinking a ton of Diet Coke. I was eating some processed foods. You know, I'd also always ate kind of healthy, but I was eating a lot of processed foods, a lot of dairy. And I didn't realize how many food sensitivities I had and how many food allergies I had.
Most people don't take this radical approach to changing their health, biohacking, you know, whatever descriptor you want to throw in there until really they hit rock bottom. And that looks different for different people. But I don't know of too many people that seemingly are pretty healthy. And there's a few, right? I mean, again, you probably know some, I know some, but most people are not like that. And so a lot of this gets, you get made fun of, you get like, oh, what is this? You know, I did a podcast today about sleeping with your mouth taped shut to force yourself to breathe through your nose. And you just can't believe the feedback you get on that from people that you know are not going down the right path in life, but yet they look at what you're doing and go, what is that? Oh man, I'd never do that. You know, and it takes you just feeling like in my story, you just feel awful all the time before you make this revolutionary switch. But I hope guys like you and I, through talking about a lot of this and projecting forward for people maybe younger than us, where they're going in the future, there'll be some wisdom around that to where they'll say, man, I need to listen to this because I don't want to get to that point. But unfortunately, I think most people have to go there where you and I kind of were to really make this radical shift.
Maybe. You know, Jared, what's interesting is I'm working with a lot of younger entrepreneurs now, and every generation gets smarter, more aware, more capable. They think faster. They see the future brighter. They're inspiring. There's an intensity to millennial entrepreneurs that I've worked with some of the most successful people in the world, and I haven't felt it before. And I have a ton of clients that are obsessed with biohacking that haven't gone off the deep end and have been that way for a long time because they learned early that mind-body connection creates awareness and awareness creates success, and they fight for it. And so I'm optimistic that, you know, we can have a massive impact and show people that when you do increase mind-body connection, when you do the simple things that make us create momentum physiologically, it changes everything in your life. We're talking about keystone habits like hydration. If you stay hydrated, everything in your life gets better. If you're dehydrated, it doesn't matter what you do, you're not optimized.
Yeah, man, that's so good to hear, because I think most of my experience has been on the other side of it, where people are more like you described yourself, as 21-year-old Bill Gates, never taken a day off in his 20s. And so they're just grinding, muscling it through, running through brick walls. And all of a sudden they put their, you know, kind of run through the yellow tape, so to speak, put their hands on the line and go, man, this sucks. Like, I've had a lot of success on paper, but holy cow, what am I doing to myself? And then at that point, they start either going deeper into it because they don't know what to do, or they do make that change. So I'm glad to hear that you're working with some really successful millennials out there that are doing it the other way. I just haven't experienced a lot of that myself.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that there's a ton of it, because there's so much misinformation and disinformation in the market.
Right.
And I think it's hard, you know, if you look up any topic in health today and you can find 12 different arguments that all oppose each other. And so I think it's hard. And I think sometimes it's hard to know what to trust and what to lean into and what to actually apply yourself to, because you don't know if you're actually going to get momentum. But yeah, there's definitely, I believe that there's a shift going on. There's an awakening going on where mind-body connection is actually becoming important. And we're starting to realize that, especially for people like you and I, you know, you're not like the rest of the world. So if you're listening to this podcast, you are a physiologically sensitive, momentum-based being. You know you can't turn it off. Those of us who can't, those of us who
right.
don't understand right. what people are saying when they say, I'm just going to go lay on the beach for 2 weeks, like that, when I say it, I get physically uncomfortable. You know, so what my goal is, I want to show people how to optimize, how to get healthier, how to increase mind-body connection, how to blow awareness through the roof to the point where everything they do is leveraged and they build multi-million dollar empires, but they don't feel the pain.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so crucial. Not feeling the pain. There's so many things the human body and the mind can do whenever we don't feel the pain. But you mentioned it a second ago, and maybe this is a good time to dive in. You mentioned the dehydration. I know you're huge on a very seemingly boring topic, which is water. I've seen in some of your writing, you talk about a 10-ounce flush every hour. You've even gone as far as saying that every illness, I'm paraphrasing here, every illness has something to do with dehydration. Is that true? I want to know if that's true. And then what does your hydration method look like, and why is it so vitally crucial for us to tap into this life-sustaining habit that most people are just passing by and grabbing something else or just not drinking anything at all?
Water for me is the most exciting biohack there is. I want to explain to everyone why I think, one, water is so important, but second, why optimizing your body today, starting right now, is the most important thing you can possibly do. I want you to self-qualify as the type of human being that must do this, not could, not should, but must, because you have a responsibility to the rest of us. So Jared, there's four types of people in the world. And real quick, I want to go through these and you tell me which one you are. So the first type of person in the world is, I call them the caretakers. It's the people who like to literally take care of other people. And it's those that like, well, actually, I can qualify you or disqualify you quickly here by just asking you a simple question. Jared, do you enjoy changing bedpans?
Do not.
Okay. That might seem like an obvious question to anybody listening.
Sure.
But I've talked to people where I've said, hey, do you enjoy changing bedpans? And Jared, they look at me sincerely and congruently and say, if that person needed the bedpan change, then I feel fulfilled and I'm glad I was here. And yes, you know what? That gives me purpose. Those caretakers, our evolutionary tribe needed the caretakers. And so this all ties into water. The second type of group out there is the communicators. These are the people who are willing to talk about anything. In fact, they'll talk about the weather. They'll talk about the room you're in. They'll talk about the game last night. So they just don't want to stop talking. I can qualify you for this with one question, Jared. Do you love small talk?
I do not.
How much do you not love small talk?
It just seems like made up time filler. That's probably why I don't like it. There's no substance to it hardly ever in my experience.
Right. But have you witnessed, like I have, people who are willing to stand and literally have a conversation about the carpet or about the game last night or about a television show for long periods of time?
Absolutely.
Okay, those are the talkers, absolutely, the communicators. Now, can you see, Jared, how our evolutionary tribe needed the talkers? Because we needed people to say, like, hey, there's a cliff over there. There's a woolly mammoth. We needed the caretakers. We needed people to take care of people. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Okay. Third group of people. I call these the coordinators. But really, they're the memorizers and the organizers. They're the ones who love red tape. They're the ones who, like, they love contracts, not for the deal, but for the freaking contract. So I can qualify you for this with one question. Jared, how many committees have you volunteered for in your life?
Very few.
So how often would you say you volunteer for a committee?
I've been on two boards my entire life because it was such a fulfilling organization that I wanted to be part of. And just, I wanted to be so part of that organization and what they were doing.
How much desire do you have to be on your homeowners association committee or condo committee?
Yeah, not at all.
Not even close, right?
No.
When you were,
I just
want
to gripe and complain when things go wrong, but I don't want to sit in on any of that stuff.
Right. And you, the only reason you were on a committee was because the outcome was clear to you, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. So we needed all of those people in our evolutionary tribe. We needed the caretakers, the communicators, the coordinators. Now, Jared, what's left in an evolutionary tribe? What do you need that's left?
I was just trying to rack my brain about what would be the fourth one.
The evolutionary hunters.
Yeah, absolutely. How could you miss that?
Every species in the world has a subpopulation that hunts.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at our evolutionary tribe, we needed that subpopulation that was hardwired to go forward, to create new. When did you start hearing that voice in the back of your head that said, hey, you can do more, you can be more, you can do something more important, you can leave more behind, you can make a difference here? When did you hear that?
Around mid-20s.
Those are the three awakenings of the entrepreneurial personality type. When you first knew you were different, when you had realized you had innate motivation, because psychology tells us we have to be compelled by something outside of us or inside of us, extrinsic or intrinsic motivation.
Right.
But the fact is, people like you and I, once the switch goes on, it never turns off. And then the third one is when you hear that call of contribution. Because, see, we're different than the rest of the human tribe. Caretakers, coordinators, communicators, they live for the present.
Right.
They literally live in the moment. They have to. That's where their world is. But people like you and I, evolutionary hunters, we have to conjure up a hunt. We have to look at where we are going. We have to create an outcome. We literally get up in the morning, envision a better future, then demand it becomes real. And the difference with us and the rest of the world is that our physiological sensitivity is off the charts.
You mentioned that when that switch goes on, it doesn't turn off. The only time, personally for me, and I've witnessed this for some other people, maybe not everybody's like this, but the only time that switch kicked off for me is whenever I was at my rock bottom and I felt horrible all the time. I felt negative because I was making everyone around me miserable. And all I wanted to do was continue thriving. And the switch went off because I just couldn't get the motivation to do it anymore. And that's really where the podcast came from, where my love for biohacking came from. And now that switch is on that I'll never turn off the rest of my life because I never want to return back to there where I was.
Yeah. And you know, the rest of the world can turn it off, Jared. The rest of the world can sit on a beach and they can find a comfortable chair and be there for 2 weeks. And people like us, like, we just don't. And so here's why I believe water is so important for every person listening. If you look at medical history in the last 150 years, water has been all but ignored.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason. When prescription drugs came around, we stopped paying attention to how the body really works. And when you look at medical history from 150 years to 6,000 years ago, water was a cure. Water was a way to get rid of inflammation, to get rid of pain, to get rid of disease, to get rid of illness, infection. It was a way for people to increase mind-body awareness, to actually have spiritual awakenings, to connect themselves more to the earth. Water was used in ceremonies. Water was used and it's insane that we now ignore it. Because if you look at the list of the top 20 prescription drugs in the world, every single one of them treats the symptoms of what we have labeled a disease. But if you trace it backwards, they are all symptoms of dehydration. Dehydration causes inflammation, pain, bloating, stomach issues, depression, issues with blood sugar, with food digestion. When you look at the top 20 drugs in the United States, they're all right there. And the fact is that when was the last time you went to a practitioner and had them say, how much water do you drink every day? Because the fact of the matter is, most people like you are walking around dehydrated, Jared. 75 to 80% of the population is chronically dehydrated. But because we are human beings and we have the ability to choose how to be, we don't, like most animals, follow our natural instincts to drink water like it matters. We're the only species in the world, only species in history that has learned how to sip.
Right. As crazy as that sounds, that's absolutely true.
But it's the truth. And so here's, like, look what water unlocks. Let me just share some of this with your listeners. I want you all to get leverage, and then I'm going to give you the three-step process that will let you drink more water than you ever thought possible within 48 hours, and definitely within 10 days, but most people within 48 hours. If you are chronically dehydrated, if water makes you feel sick, if you have pain in your stomach when you drink water, if you get heartburn from drinking water, it'll take us 10 days. Everybody else, 48 hours. But first, I want to tell you why. Water is the only method of detoxification in the body. So let me give you an equation. The more hydrated you are, the more your body can detoxify. The more dehydrated you are, the more your body retains toxins. That's just the easiest argument that's ever been made. If you look at the research around hyperhydration, hydrating more than normally people do, because 8 8-ounce glasses was a totally arbitrary measurement. It's a joke. I have more than 48 ounces before the first hour of the day is done. And when you look at actually staying hydrated, when you hyperhydrate with 16 ounces or more of water, your body metabolism increases 30 to 50% for up to 2 hours. So is that optimizing, or is that where we're supposed to be? And the fact is, when you look at how we are as human beings today, we will wake up, think we're thirsty, think to ourselves, I should get some water. Then because of the pressure and the noise in most of our lives today and the level of distraction we deal with, that subtle whispering thirst instinct gets suppressed, and we can look up at 5 o'clock and not have had any water in a day.
Oh yeah. Now, I mean, I kid you not, this is going to be, you know, this is going to blow some people away who know me and know I'm still not great on the water training. It's all excuses, right? But I just remember back whenever I lived down in Houston several years ago, trying to run my business. That's where I started my financial practice down there. And I would literally go, I told a guy one time, he's like, man, it's like, I'm thirsty. I need to find something. He's like, oh, here's some water. And I drank it. And I was like, I kid you not, this is the first time in 2 weeks I remember picking up a bottle of water and drinking. He's like, ah, come on. I'm like, no, I'm serious. It's coffee. It's energy drinks. It's more coffee in the afternoon, probably more energy drinks in the afternoon, and then nothing in the evening because I've drank all that crap during the day. And I've kidded myself thinking that I'm replenished when really there's nothing really hydrating me there at all. And it's, yeah, absolutely.
Quite the contrary. Right. Actually, what you've done all day is encourage your body to dehydrate and increase inflammation. Because what happens is you are consuming diuretics without water. And so what the body literally does when we consume diuretics and we don't consume water is it holds water in the joints and in the organs and then purges water everywhere else. And so we end up with inflammation, back pain, shoulder pain, knee pain, ankle pain, and pain in the chest, pain in the gut.
Yeah, I had a business partner at one point and I thought he was crazy. He said 2% of dehydration causes fatigue on your brain. I'm like, ah, come on, 2%.
It's much more than that.
Much worse. Okay, gotcha. Because I never verified that fact. I just thought, man, this is a pretty sound guy. He does his research, but wow, is that real? I didn't know that. So you're saying it's even worse.
Here's what's baffling, Jared. The research was done with emergency room and surgical doctors. And so there is it's an article on PubMed. You can go find it. I can't remember what the title is, but it was all about dehydration in a clinical setting and what happens. And the punchline is, being dehydrated is the same as being awake for 24 to 48 hours. It's the same as being slightly drunk. It's the same. And this was medical doctors who were in the study. And so they're doing surgeries, they're seeing people and they're getting dehydrated. And that it's the same as like not having slept. And so hydration it's incredible what it changes in your life. But here's the problem. I truly believe that we've been convinced we don't need water, because there's a lot of financial gain in us not drinking that much water. The fact is, if you don't drink water and you eat a lot of processed foods, the same company that make the chemicals that go in on the front end are the same companies that make the medicines on the back end.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And so there's not a big push for water, because here's what the first question every doctor should ask is, how much water have you had today? Reality is most of our bodies are made up of water. Then the different systems in our bodies exchange water all day at different rates. The highest rate of exchange is in the brain. Well, here's what you have to understand about stasis in the body. When it runs out of water, it cuts off the highest rate of exchange first. So everything else works but the brain.
Say that again. Say that again one more time. I think that's too profound to not repeat.
So the systems in the body exchange water, and the highest rate of exchange is in the brain. The brain exchanges more water than anywhere else in the body. But as soon as you become dehydrated, the body goes from a thrive condition to where it's optimized and pushing and saying all systems go to a starvation condition where it starts holding water, stops the water exchange in the brain, slows down digestion, dries out the lungs, pulls water into the knees, to the hips, to the joints. And we look at all of these things and, you know, you can trace the origin of a disease right back to not drinking water. At the very beginning, it's a tummy ache. Then it becomes stomach issues. Then it becomes irritable bowel syndrome and maybe some heartburn. Then it becomes nighttime heartburn attacks. Then it becomes Crohn's. Then it becomes colitis. Now you're having part of your colon removed. And the fact is that if you look at the digestive system, if it doesn't have enough water, that is the path.
First of all, I got two questions here. Gosh, there's just so many directions I want to go with this. I think it's so important. Tell me why you got on this water train early on. Were you feeling the physical effects of water? I mean, because there's a lot of people out there that are sick and people can tell them about water and tell them all the facts of water.
It's
and they go, okay,
story.
Cool. I'll try to start drinking more water. But they don't talk about it with the passion and enthusiasm that you do. What was that trigger for you where you were like, man, water is essential. And here's why I'm going to really, you know, live out this message that I'm preaching here.
Well, it was all about working with some of the smartest people in the world, Jared. I worked with people who move the world around like puzzle pieces. And I would take people to meetings at big retailers. We go to Walmart or to Radio Shack or to BrandsMart down in South Florida at Office Depot. And, you know, sometimes we get stuck in the waiting rooms or sometimes, you know, we'd be in an extended condition where like I'd watch people deteriorate. And it took me years to figure this out. Like, believe me, it wasn't like immediately I said, oh, hey, look, cause and effect. But what I realized over time was if I kept water in my car and if I kept people hydrated, they did a lot better. And here's what I knew, like factually, if somebody was sitting in a waiting room and they hadn't had water, and if time went by long enough, their blood sugar dropped, we were going to have a terrible meeting. And my whole life was predicated on other people's success. So I watched other people and I had always had a lot of water ever since I was a little kid. And I think it was because I was so challenged physically that drinking water made me feel better and it made pain go away and it made heartburn go away. And I had so many other things going on as a kid that like water for me was always something that I did. But then I realized when other people didn't, how dramatic the effect was. And, you know, I started obsessively studying it. And when you look at it, it's crazy that doctors don't ask about water today. And it's crazy how we treat water today. I think this is fact. Like anybody who I've ever asked confirms it. Thirst is one of the most subtle instinctive reminders we have.
Right.
Pain is not a subtle instinctive reminder. If you put your hand in a hot pan, everything in your body says, get your hand out of that pan. Would you agree with that?
Right. Yeah.
Okay. But here's what your body does. Your body will say, hey, you're thirsty. And the second you look at something else, it's a lost thought.
That's right. That is exactly right.
And here's why. We're evolutionary hunters. The body's not going to waste neurology. It's not going to waste resources in saying drink water more than once. Because it knows that if water was nearby and an evolutionary hunter was prompted, you're thirsty, that hunter would stop everything and go drink water because they would have been without it. But because we're in this place now in a evolved society where water is abundantly available, we now ignore it. I guarantee you, if it was 2,000 years ago and we were running around in loincloths and you were thirsty and there was water nearby, you would not ignore it.
Oh, heck yeah. Right. Because you'd be in a desperate feeling of never knowing when you're going to get it again.
No doubt, Jared. And here's the problem. Our body, our evolution hasn't progressed to the point where our autonomic nervous system says, hey, increase that thirst instinct response to the same as like an oxygen instinct. Because it's crazy. I watch people dehydrate themselves all day, but choke somebody for about 10 seconds and you watch how quickly they react.
Yeah. It's air, water, and then hunger, I guess, is the order that our body goes in of what you can.
But you know, what's interesting is we totally ignore the water. We go to the hunger, then we eat. And we're dehydrated. Our stomach acids aren't at the right pH. Our body is now toxic while we're eating. We're taking on calories. We're taking on nutrients. We're literally putting stress, pressure, noise on the body at its most toxic state. And then we wonder why so many people are getting sick from eating.
Yeah. There's a lot of people out there who have tried, you know, various water challenges, or they've said, you know what, I know I need to drink more water. This is just casual conversations I've had with people over my life. And they've said, you know, I tried to do that for a while. Going from never drinking water to just trying to pound it all day, every day. And it was kind of annoying. I peed a lot. I kept having to go to the bathroom and it was real boring and you know, I didn't like it a whole lot. And it really didn't make me feel that much different. And I've never done a water challenge like that. You know, there's various ones out there, right? But I've never done anything like that. But it was just always confusing to me, like, wow, really? Like, you didn't feel any difference. And that could have been them just being closed off to it, or they could have been just doing so many other horrible things to their body, lack of sleep, whatever, that they just couldn't feel the effects of what it was really doing. But what would you tell somebody out there in that situation where they're like, man, Alex, I hear you. I read all the facts about water, whatever, but I tried this water challenge one time, didn't feel that much a difference. I just don't know this is something I need to build in because I feel okay without it. And it didn't really move the needle when I tried to just slam it all day long.
You know, Jared, I've never had that response. And so I think it's probably that the tactics were different. So can I share with you tactically how anybody who's listening, including you, because I do want to follow up on this, I'm going to challenge you in the next 10 days.
Oh, please do. This is the one area, the sleep, I've come thousands of miles difference on than where I was. Positive thinking, I've come thousands of miles difference where I was. All those sort of things have dramatically improved over the last 2 years in my life since I was at my rock bottom. Water, as stupid as this sounds, is still the thing that I'm like, oh crap, I'm hearing about drinking more water again. I'm still not doing it. Like, shame on me. But then what do? Do I go and implement it? No, I go another 6 months and then I'm reminded again that I need to drink more water and I'm still not doing it. So please challenge me. Please, you know, please follow up with me on that.
So next 10 days, I want to see if we can reawaken your natural thirst. And I'm going to share this with everybody. I coach some of the most successful entrepreneurs out there. People who are building 7-figure companies, 8-figure companies, and well beyond that. And I start with hydration habits. They hire me to help them build the infrastructure to grow a 7-figure business that goes to 8 figures and then beyond. And I start with hydration.
Wow.
And so if you want the same exact advice that people pay me $36,000 to $120,000 a year for, it's this. Because if I don't have a hydrated client, if I have an entrepreneur who's on in the morning, off in the afternoon, feels toxic, is having shortened thinking. Like, here's what dehydration does immediately to your thinking. First, you have a shorter time span for thinking. You don't see the future as clearly.
Right.
Because your body's now in a starvation mode. Second, options become limited. You don't see the unique connections. You don't perceive everything that a hunter should see in creating new outcomes in the world. And third, you start getting aggressive and irritated and frustrated with almost any type of interaction that isn't predicated by you. When an entrepreneur gets into that place, it doesn't matter, even if with what I just described, if you're one of those super people who dehydration doesn't affect you that much, what if you're only off by 10%?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, what's that going to do? 10% compounds every day. And here's what we're going to do. I want to reawaken your natural thirst instinct. I want you to start to hear it, to start to listen to your body. We're going to reconnect mind and body in the most profound way. So here's the first
rule. And I'm assuming you're talking about just regular water, not sparkling water,
yep.
not energy water, not any, you know, whatever marketed out there nowadays to make it more fun and, you know, attractive. You're just talking about plain old water.
I'm talking about water. You can put a little sea salt in it or a few drops of lemon juice. You know, I use reverse osmosis in my house, so I put sea salt and lemon juice to bring the water back to life. You can use spring water. If you have a spring near you, then that's the most preferred thing. And if you are just taking it out of the tap, you can get a charcoal drip filter to do the natural thirst challenge. I've had thousands of people go through the 10-day challenge. I've never had one person come back and say, hey, it didn't work. Because here's what's real. Your thirst instinct is real. There's 4 pillars of health: breathing, hydration, nutrition, and movement. And in medical school, they learn nothing about any of those 4. If they learn anything about nutrition, it's usually 4 to 6 hours. And if you read the curriculum, it would shock you. Here are the 3 steps to get hydrated and stay hydrated for the rest of your life. Plus, you're going to start drinking 200 to 300 ounces of water quickly, and you'll get days where you're over 400 to 600 ounces, and you'll feel incredible per day. Oh, Jared, I've got 115-pound personal trainer females clients that drink 250 to 300 ounces a day.
Wow.
Here's the steps. And by the way, you don't know what hydrated feels like until you're hyperhydrated, until you're actually getting the 16 ounces or more to the point where that metabolism stays elevated, to where the connection stays elevated, to where your body is purging toxins, to where you feel connected. And, you know, if you're peeing and there's any type of a color, you're not having enough water.
Right.
And so first step is you get up in the morning and you hyperhydrate. And this is an event. Like, treat it like it matters. You get a glass of water, and here's my suggestion. Get something that's huge, like 30 ounces or more. I use a 50-ounce SIG water bottle, and my hyperhydration in the morning is usually anywhere from about 25 to 35 ounces, and I do it all at once. It's like chugging water.
Chug it down, yeah. Now, I did start implementing that. Full disclosure, I started implementing that probably 6 months or probably 4 months ago. I was late to the game. Everybody told me to do that, but I am proud to say that I do that now each morning. A little bit of sea salt, a little bit of lemon juice, chug that down, probably 25 to 30 ounces, and that does make me, I mean, it starts off my day so much better. So at least I've got that locked in. It's throughout the day where I'm really suffering on getting it built in.
Well, then here's step 2. So first step is you hyperhydrate in the morning, like Jared just described. And I want you to like consider some awareness around this event when you do it. Think to yourself right before you hyperhydrate, because if you do this for 10 days, you'll never stop. Think to yourself right before you hyperhydrate, how does my body feel? How do my shoulders feel? How does my torso feel? How do I feel overall? How clear am I seeing? How clear am I hearing? Then slam the 20 to 30 ounces of water and you will see all of those metrics get better. Your torso will be more relaxed. Your body will feel better. You'll feel more connected. You'll actually see clearer. And over time, you actually hear better.
Wow.
But we're so caught up in so many things. We're usually looking at an iPhone while we're drinking. We're not really paying attention to our bodies. You know, the biggest biohack you have is your brain.
Right.
Pay attention and look at the results and see what you're getting. So second step, first is the hyperhydration. Now, the second step is you have to keep water with you. It's proximity to water. Here's the absolute fact. If you do not have water, you will not drink.
Right.
So from this point forward, have water with you at all times. I carry 2 50-ounce SIG bottles when I travel, and I always have water because of step three. If you think, drink. And here's what that means. If you so much as look at your water bottle, that's your body saying, hey, you're probably thirsty. Because for so long, you've suppressed a natural instinct that the same way that when we wear shoes, we cause neuroma in the feet and the nerves stop sending the signal, we've suppressed the natural instinct for so long, the body stops sending the signal. And when we get up in the morning and we take that big hyperhydration, what happens is we now show our evolutionary hunter body that we are in an area of abundance, that it can tell us to drink, that it can tell us when we're thirsty. And then if you have water with you, what you'll find is after that hyperhydration that feels like more water than you ever should have had, within about 20 or 30 minutes, you're looking at your water bottle again.
Yeah. So it's the triggers. You're conditioning those triggers.
Yeah. And if you do that for 2 or 3 days, Jared, at first, I want to come back and find out how it worked for you, because I've had people tell me things like, Alex, you don't understand, water makes me sick. And 6 days later, I'm getting text messages like, I didn't know a human being could feel like this.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Man, that is so key. And what are you telling people about caffeine, energy drinks, anything else that they're drinking out there that's telling their brain, hey, you're hydrated. You just slammed down a 32-ounce Monster energy drink or whatever. You're fine. You're not thirsty anymore. How are you speaking to that? And I'm sure you're doing some form of caffeine during the day. I mean, most people do in our lives today, but maybe not. Maybe you're just hitting the water when you wake up. Tell us what your path is in the morning after you first get your hyperhydration on.
So we have a program called the 10-Day Natural Thirst Challenge. And if you go to Get Thirsty Now, and I know thirsty now means like getting lucky. So we did a play on words. We knew. GetThirstyNow.com. It's a 10-day challenge. And so in the 10 days, we encourage people to forego caffeine and alcohol. Because if you want to completely reawaken your natural thirst, we have to stop suppressing it. And caffeine and alcohol both work as natural suppressors of our thirst for water. In fact, when you drink caffeine, your body says, go drink more caffeine.
Right.
And so if you can give it up for 10 days, you will see a much more dramatic response than most people. Now, for me personally, I have a hypernutrition shake in the morning. My whole way of biohacking is to put my body into a mode where it thrives. I want it to know it has abundant water, abundant oxygen, movement is free, that I'm not stuck, I'm not constrained in any way, and abundant nutrition. Because our evolutionary bodies, if we wake up and we crap, then our body says, hey, you're in an area where the food's crap. And you might not want to be hungry today. And then you look at people who don't eat all day, or they don't feel hungry, or literally go through periods of the day where they eat nothing and then they purge or they binge. And to me, it's easy to see the cause of that. So in the morning, I have a hypernutrition shake with some caffeine. But if you're drinking Diet Coke or energy drinks or the regular caffeine coffee out of a 7-Eleven, you've got to take a step back and ask yourself what kind of fuel you're putting in the Ferrari. And if you have related to anything I've said today about being an evolutionary hunter, then I want to make something hyper clear to you. If you're not treating your body like a professional athlete would treat theirs, I ask why. One, you have the earning potential of a professional athlete, whether you've realized that or not. You have the influence and affluence potential of a professional athlete, whether you've realized it or not. And if you relate to being an evolutionary hunter, then I want you to know I've got your back and I want you to be able to have mine. And if you're putting that kind of crap in your body, it doesn't work that way. The fact is, when you look at the ingredients in an energy drink, or even worse, a diet drink, right. Aspartame combined with caffeine causes a reaction in brain cells where they get really hyper excited, hyper stimulated, and they flame out. There's a reason why that stuff is so addictive. At one point in my life, in my 20s, I probably should have included this, when I got to that place where I was massive, I was one of those guys walking around the gym with a 2-liter bottle of Diet Coke. I didn't realize that by drinking that product, by putting a flavored product in my mouth that contained, like, let's be really clear, these are neurostimulators. They're the same thing that's in like poisons that we use in war. And you use a whole bunch of poison, somebody dies. You use a little bit of poison, you get a sweet taste.
Right.
And so aspartame, sucralose, any of those things that are out there, we have no clue what we're doing to the body. And when you look at what the latest research shows, is that any attempt to fake the body into thinking that it's not getting, that it's tasting something good and not getting calories, only dramatically, and we're talking by double digit percentages, increases your percentage chances of being obese, dying of a heart attack, having a stroke, and getting diabetes.
It's so toxic what we're playing with out there, but I think it doesn't affect you immediately. You know, if people drink energy drinks and the aspartame just like put them in a coma for a while, 3 hours in the afternoon, then they woke up and they're like, oh, I guess I need to go back to work now. People probably wouldn't drink energy drinks, right? But the problem is they make you feel great, and then they slowly decay your insides and your brain cells and everything you just mentioned over time. But it's that slow burn, and so people don't feel it immediately.
You know, Jared, it brings up a point that I share with my clients. Just because you can doesn't mean you should.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the fact is that heroin feels really good. And, you know, I mean, cocaine, incredible. You're on top of the world. Aspartame with caffeine, not too much of a difference. Ask anybody who's had to quit Diet Coke.
Man, so important. Thanks so much for sharing that with us. So guys, the website, if you're out there, and I'll link this up in show notes as well, is getthirstynow.com. You can join the Natural Thirst Challenge. Looks like it's a 10-day challenge. Is that what you said? Yeah, 10 days here, Alex. Man, I'm so glad. Just so much here that I'm so ready to dive into. Just for the sake of time, I know, you know, we're going to run out of time here on the podcast. Take us in a different direction. Come back to the water if we need to as well. I mean, it's so important. But what other things are you doing in order to run optimal? I mean, you just mentioned, you know, what are you putting in the Ferrari? What are you putting in every day? And you don't have to give us the full extensive list, but what's really moving the needle, or maybe even some new stuff that you've uncovered in the last few months that's really working for you out there?
Okay, I'm going to be the most boring biohacking guest in history, because first, I've talked about water far too long, and I didn't include like any chemicals or anything cool you can like inject in your leg and stuff. So when I talk about what's really moving the needle, people think at first like, what the hell is he talking about? How boring is this guy? So Jared, here's the big one. If I can get my clients to get outside in the morning before heavy exposure to electronics, either wear minimal shoes like Vibram, Five Fingers, or go barefoot and walk outside for 20 minutes, everything changes. See, we're evolutionary hunters, and the vast majority of us are in some state of fight or flight. And if you look at how long you've been in that state of fight or flight, I can usually sit down with somebody and we can identify where it started, we can identify where it peaked, and we can also identify kind of where you're feeling it today, where there's overreactivity, where maybe there's some trouble sleeping, where maybe there's some other symptoms that you're seeing of being in that fight or flight. And here's why I think that happens to us. As entrepreneurs, well, I'll just ask you, Jared, do you push yourself more than most people out there?
Yeah, I've been told by people before that, I mean, multiple people have mentioned that I'm the hardest working person that they know. And that work is not always smart, because sometimes it's just muscling it through, especially whenever I was younger, which got me to the point that I was in. But I would say, yes, my natural reaction is wired to go and go very quickly and early in the morning.
Right. It's that we get up and we're in that, like, and here's what happens. There's an epidemic of people having adrenal issues, thyroid issues, hormonal issues, and all types of other issues that if we trace backwards and we look at the fight or flight response within the body, the dumping of adrenals, the dumping of thyroid, the adjustment of blood sugar, if we live in fight or flight over time, we tap the adrenals, we screw up the thyroid, we blank out on our sexual hormones. And so there's this epidemic of older entrepreneurs who are having adrenaline problems, chronic fatigue issues, thyroid issues, and issues, men and women, with their sexual hormones. And so, you know, I don't look at that and say, how do we replace the hormones? I don't look at that and say, you know, how do we stop them from working? Because that's just absurd. I've never successfully stopped an entrepreneur from working. Even if we made them look like they stopped working, they just kept working in their head.
Right.
And so I want entrepreneurs to be able to work more, to put in more effective hours, to be more efficient, to do even more, to build bigger companies, build bigger organizations. And if I can get them out for a 20-minute walk, here's what I believe. And there's some keys here. I want to give you some tactics in a second. But here's what I think happens. When we go outside and we walk in a way that tells our body there is no woolly mammoth, we disconnect that adrenaline loop and we tap into a dopamine loop.
Right.
And when I can get people outside walking within the third or fourth day, I get text messages like I recently got from one of my clients, Layla Hormozy, where first she said, when do we go out for the walk? And I said, first thing in the morning before electronics. 3 days later, these morning walks are a game changer. Because what happens is within just a few days, if you do it right, you start getting a runner's high from a walk. You know why? Evolutionary hunters, we weren't meant to be running all of the time. We were meant to go out, make the kill, and then have the rest of the tribe do everything they do. And so when we go out in the morning and we walk in a way that lets our physiology know that things are okay, everything changes. And here's how you do that. You go outside, you take off your shoes or you wear minimal shoes, you walk on a multi-plane surface, you hold your head high, don't try and stand all straight and erect, but stand up straight, hold your head high, no electronics, and then breathe in and out through your nose. And you'll probably start at a count of 2 or 3 seconds on the inhale, 2 or 3 seconds on the exhale. But over time, get that to 7 seconds in and 7 seconds out. If you can go and walk and maintain that breathing pattern, you will see your entire physiology change. In fact, if you do that same read we do for hydration and you think to yourself, where's my chest? Where's my torso? How do I feel? How's the tension in my body? What's my awareness level? I have people tell me that by the second, I get the greatest text messages after people go on walks. Like, third day walking and my eyes worked better. Yeah. And Jared, the fact is if you kick the autonomic nervous system out of an adrenal mode, out of that overclocking, overtaxing, everything works better. So I'm an advanced biohacker. I've done some crazy stuff. I've got $500,000, rehab facility in my basement. We've got just about every modality you could get except for cryo. And when you look at all of that stuff, to me, the most important things are nutrition, movement, and
hydration.
Yeah, breathing, nutrition, movement, and hydration. Sorry.
Yeah, that's just so key. And we're not, guys, listening out there. I mean, people are probably tapped into this that are my audience. I mean, but they're probably thinking like, man, these guys aren't even talking about the benefits of grounding and, all of that that's going to come with that. That's why you're saying, kick off the shoes.
There's so much more.
Grounding and sunlight, so vitamin D, all those things that we're not even going into. Just start basic. I love how you said you're going to be the most boring biohacking guest that I've had on here. I just started laughing because I was like, man, boring works. Like, there's too much noise out there, even in our own biohacking community and health community and all that. It's like, just get back to the basics. That's what I tell these young advisors here all the time, trying to figure out how to run a business and not just run around like a chicken with their head cut off. It's like, just get back to the basics. Just go talk to people. It's that simple. Sometimes the boring and the simple is better.
Well, if you want to change your entire life, take your kid with you.
Yeah.
I coach my clients to take their kids on their walk with them. And I get stuff back like, hey, they're not a behavioral problem in school anymore.
Yeah.
Or they're so much calmer when we get back, or there's just a difference. And it's because you take them out, they get that same stimulation from walking, but you'll also find that if you give your kids that time and you're present and you're aware and you're breathing into your body and you have mind-body connection, you will have conversations with your children you have nowhere else.
Yeah, that's so awesome. What else, without getting too far into your list, because I know that would take another probably a couple of podcasts to go through, but just whether it's waking up, sleep, bedtime routine, so much of your important morning starts with the PM.
You know what? Why don't we go after something that nobody else talks about? Your clothes.
Clothes. Okay, interesting.
Yeah, I mean, this is fact. Men's suits cause inflammation. If you put on a suit, because I wore one every day forever. I wore nice suits, Jared. I spent hundreds of thousands of dollars on suits. I had handmade suits made in Italy, flown like all, by like pygmy elves that were raised only to make suits. Like, I had all that. I threw it all away because you put on a suit in the morning, and by the end of the day, you have to loosen the neck on the suit and the wrists are tight. The reason is your body is now inflamed from carrying around this device called a business suit that has no benefit whatsoever to us as human beings anymore and causes inflammation at like 12 different points in the body, completely constrains the lymphatic system, lowers the circulation rate in the body. It literally cuts you in half at the middle with a belt. And all of that garbage is stuff we don't need.
And I'm in a suit and every day. I had to lose the tie just because of what you're talking about. It's not that I'm gaining weight and my neck's tighter. That happens to plenty of guys out there, right? They can't even fit in their suits. They keep trying to wear them. But it's just, I felt so constricted, during the day. So now it's like loose, belts loose, everything's loose, custom made to where it's like looser. And it's a game changer. I know exactly where you're going with that.
Yeah. I mean, I actually, like clients of mine that have to wear suits, they order technical materials from like material manufacturers and have suits made that feel like Lululemon and I refuse. I don't wear suits anymore. It was funny. A couple of years ago, I got invited to speak for a company that was a multi-billion dollar financial organization that actually spoke to people like you're talking about. And I was their keynote speaker for a year. And there was this conversation where they said, well, you know, the one thing is we've looked at all the pictures and we've watched all the videos and Alex always wears a t-shirt. We've never had a speaker in a t-shirt. He would be the first. So, you know, we just want you to know all of our other speakers have worn a suit. And I replied, well, it'll be interesting to see how your audience reacts to me in a t-shirt.
Awesome.
Right? Because there's no effing way I'm changing who I am. And once I figured out that you can wear technical clothing that actually lets your body breathe, that lets your lymphatic system work, lets the circulatory system work. Like most of what we do with clothes isn't really helping us. And the biggest area of constraint left today for people is their shoes. When you look at high heels for women, it's pretty close to the torture devices that were used 200-300 right. years ago. And when you look at, you know, as human beings, we don't want constraint anywhere. I don't want constraint in my finances. I don't want constraint in my health. I want to be able to do whatever I want. But then we get up every day and we spend hundreds of dollars on boxes that we put on our feet that constrain some of the softest, most delicate tissue in the entire body that, by the way, in case you're wondering, is responsible for our ability to understand direction and know where we are.
Right.
So, you know, the sole of our feet actually has more exteroceptors and interoceptors than just about anywhere else in the body. And the longer you put them in shoes, the more nerves your body kills. And your feet are directly connected to the small area of the brain that gives you spatial relationships. And it's proven that over time, as your feet become more neuropic, because nerves are dying from lack of use, that space in the brain that tells you where you are stops functioning. So when 65-year-old people are getting lost every time they leave the house, you have to go back to when they started wearing shoes.
Man, I hadn't thought about that. If you could see me right now, I'm in a fluid stance, basically like a surfboard, just to keep me moving. But
oh no, I'm
yeah. So I figured you were, but I still got these shoes on, like you're talking about. Like I love it whenever I come up here and I can kick my shoes off and I can get on that thing and just move around, move my joints all around. But then I've got meetings in here, you know, I've got to keep them on. And you're right, like it just keeps me so constricted. My feet start hurting even on top of the fluid stance. I kick these things off anytime that I can. That's such good advice.
You might want to go one more step there, Jared, and go buy yourself some rock mats. Like if you go to Home Depot or Lowe's, you can buy tiles that are meant to go in the bottom.
Oh yeah,
of the
with like the webbing on the back of them.
And they're made of yeah. And you can just lay them underneath your desk, kick your feet off, and then because the flat ground is an adaptation, it's not a healthy one. It causes repeated use injuries. There's a reason why so many people are losing hips, knees. There's a reason why so many people have back pain and shoulder pain. It's because we're in an artificial habitat most of the time. And that our feet, when you look at the way that the human foot works, it is supposed to curve around things, to claw things, to grip things, to actually be on a multi-plane surface. So if you so much as put two of those rock mats underneath your desk and rest your feet there when you kick your shoes off, you'll see an entire change in the way that your feet feel and the way that your feet react to everything. The problem is if you do that, you're not going to be able to wear normal shoes. You'll end up going and buying a good pair of minimal dress shoes, which, by the way, there's enough options now that you shouldn't be in shoes that hurt anymore.
Yeah, no, that's true. And the five fingers are so awesome. I mean, I looked at those, it's just like, man, those are weird for so long, and they heard everybody rave about them. I try to explain them to my wife whenever I've got them on, and you know, it's like your feet with rubber on the bottom, and she's like, that didn't make any sense. I'm like, yeah, it doesn't. You'd have to put them on to realize, but they feel so much more natural. They feel so good whenever I've got them on walking around in them.
I've obsessed over the feet in the same way I've obsessed over water, in the same way I've obsessed over breathing, in the same way I obsessed over success and figured out the EPT.
I mean, I'm going to have to get you back on, Alex, because like I said, there's so much time in a podcast, there's so much time you can keep people's attention and you can be saying the greatest stuff out there and, you know, people have things they've got to go do. So we've got to pick your brain on more stuff. I was going to get into breathing with you. Obviously, I didn't cover that because the water was so important. By the way, before I forget and before we wrap up here, I know we don't have time to do a deep dive on this, but what type of water are you preferring for yourself each day in those SIG bottles that you have? Is there a certain type that you're going for? Or are you just telling people, hey, it doesn't matter what type you get, just make sure you're drinking all throughout the day?
You know, try and get as clean as you possibly can. So I use reverse osmosis. The Berkey filters, if you want a really inexpensive option, are amazing. And that's it. And I put a little sea salt and a little lemon juice every time. And you got to remember, I'm up, you know, 400 or 600 ounces of water a day easily. And so are most of my clients. And the biggest tip that I have is don't get a small water bottle. You get a 20-ounce water bottle, you're never going to hyperhydrate because you empty it all the time. Get a 32-ounce or greater, and you'll see your numbers go through the roof.
Right. And I know with Berkey, there's a lot of different types of filters. There's fluoride filters. They've got several different types. Or what type would you recommend our listeners to grab?
I don't remember exactly what the name is, but it's the one that does get fluoride, because if water's filtering out fluoride, it's getting pretty much everything.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Last question here, and then we'll wrap up. Is there anything, and if not, that's totally okay, because I know I'm putting you on the spot here. Is there anything supplement-wise that you're taking right now that you weren't previously at some point in life taking that you're like, man, once I discovered that, really moved the needle for me, and I recommend it to people?
Absolutely. I found it at PaleoFX, and it is the coolest company that I've come in contact with in the longest time. I've actually been on the phone with the owner and his son, and it's a company called Real Mushrooms. But not those mushrooms, but here's why. So I've studied obsessively, like, how do you make the body healthier? Well, throughout history, mushrooms have been, oh my gosh, they've been a tonic. They've been a tea. They've worked as a anti-inflammatory. They've worked as an antibiotic. They've worked as you know, anti-infection, antifungal. I mean, they've worked to increase awareness, concentration, to make people feel better, to make people feel more connected, to cure depression. And then again, you go to about 200 years ago and we were like, mushrooms, slide it aside, let's get some pills. And so I'm obsessed with mushrooms. I've used them for a long time. You look at like what lion's mane or what cordyceps does, it's incredible the properties that the phytonutrients within mushrooms have and the reactions they cause within the human body.
Yeah, so I use those each day, and that's within the last year, really got on those. And
whose are you using?
I was doing more.
Maybe we shouldn't name a brand because I'm about to trash them.
Okay, let's not. You and I can talk offline. We won't name a brand. And actually, what I started doing, I'm not doing as much anymore. I'm just doing it in a pill or a capsule form just because I'm not drinking any of the tonics or whatever any longer. But the lion's mane, cordyceps each day for me.
So I use three. I use lion's mane, cordyceps, and then a product called Five Defenders from a company called Real Mushrooms. And there is no other product like it. Now, here's the big scam.
So you're taking the cordyceps and the lion's mane separate from the Five Defenders. Like you're doing all of that. Those aren't included in the Five Defenders.
No.
To clarify.
So there's three different products. Five Defenders is one, cordyceps and lion's mane, because then I've got all my bases covered. And I take a half teaspoon of each one in the morning. But I mean, Real Mushrooms has incredible reishi. It's second to none. Here's why. If you look at 99% of the mushroom products out there, and this blew me away. I was so ticked off when I found this, Jared. If you look on them, you'll find that it says something like mycelial mass grown on an oat substrate or mycelial mass grown on brown rice. What's actually happening is those companies are taking like brown rice or oats and they're growing a mushroom substrate on them, and then they're powdering that and selling it as mushrooms. And so if you do a starch test on most of the mushroom products out there, they're like 80% starch. They light up like crazy. So Real Mushrooms is a totally different concept. This is a company that they go over to China. They are purchasing their mushrooms from the largest pure mushroom grower in China. And I had a long conversation with the owner, and he is the most passionate mushroom advocate I've ever met in my entire life. And you talk to him and he feels like he is curing disease, helping people gain awareness and changing lives. And he's so passionate about putting the right product in the bag that since I've started taking those, it's like I feel it every day.
I've got it pulled up here. Are you doing the capsules or are you doing the, I guess, what it looks like a package?
I bought the packages because I put them in my hyper nutrition shake because I put a lot of other phytonutrients and some sun food nutrition, some other food concentrates. I don't do a lot of supplements. I like food concentrates a lot because the entourage effect that is created with eating your nutrients in a food product allows everything to absorb better. When you take isolates, I don't know how much of that is absorbed. So there is a few things that I try or use, but mushrooms for me, this one has been a complete game changer. We actually got a deal with them. So anybody who wants to, you can get a discount by using my last name. If you put CHARFEN in as the checkout code, I think they give you a 10% discount, which buy one bag. And here's what's crazy. If you've taken any other type of mushroom product, open it up and smell it. For the first time, you're going to go, it kind of smells like Cheerios. You know how ticked off I am that I've been spending hundreds of dollars on oats and brown rice?
I would assume the capsules are probably the same as what's in the bag, but it looks like the little packet that you have, you use one of those. Is it one a day that you're using? Sorry, the Five Defenders. Is it one pack
of the capsules or of the bags?
Oh, one half teaspoon.
One half teaspoon a day.
Oh, actually, it looks like it's 45 grams.
Yep, doesn't mean much.
In each one of these. Okay. Yeah, it's got your reishi, shiitake, buntaki, turkey tail,
and
chaga.
And they last forever. I mean, do like buy the reishi. It's crazy because if you like, you can do the reishi tea challenge. Make reishi tea with any other brand. You'll drink it and it tastes like oat water. Reishi tea made out of real mushrooms. It's like, it's so potent so strong. It's hard to drink because you know, mushrooms have an incredible taste effect to them. So no, it's, that's been a game changer for me. I love that company and I really like the family behind it. That means a lot to me. I don't usually purchase products unless I know who I'm buying them
from.
And
you're doing the Lion's Mane and Cordyceps through them as well? Or are you doing that through a separate source since you said you're doing
them? Nope, through them as well. I wouldn't buy mushrooms anywhere else now that I've found these guys. And now they came out with capsules. They just sent me some free bottles of them and they're fantastic. You can take them on trips. You can take them wherever you go. Anybody who hasn't looked into mushrooms as a way to increase the level of health that you have and to increase your vitality, check it out. They're like nature's miracle.
I know a lot of people do reishi like in their teas at night and stuff because it's a little bit more calming, but it sounds like you're doing this in the morning to kind of get your day kicked off. It's awesome, man. Thanks so much for providing value. Where can we find more about you? Where can we steer our listeners to anything that you've got going on out there?
So the best place to go is to our podcast, The Entrepreneurial Personality Type. If you related to be an evolutionary hunter, if you're one of those people who's been driven more than most, told to sit down, slow down, stop talking, maybe one of those people that, you know, gets misunderstood a lot, then you are part of our tribe and we would love to have you. So check out The Entrepreneurial Personality Type on iTunes or Google Play. You can go to momentumpodcast.com and it'll give you all the options. And then you can also download my book. It's available at freemomentumbook.com. And it is all about the entrepreneurial personality type and how people like us have and always will change the world.
Awesome, man. So many good things here. And now that I know you're right here in Texas, we're going to have to get together for to collaborate on some things. That'd be awesome. I had no idea, you know, kind of watching your stuff for so long that you were right down there in Austin. So that's awesome.
You got to come check out the lab.
Oh, I will. I will. I got really excited whenever you said that. So again, so much more to pick your brain on. We thank you for your time. Wish you continued success in all that you're doing. Keep crushing it. And so much to learn from you. Thanks so much, Alex.
Appreciate it, Jared.
Take care. Bye-bye. Hey guys, I loved having Alex on the podcast and hope you took a ton away from his message of forward momentum, bigger thinking, and the entrepreneurial personality type to further move your life into higher levels of peak performance. If you guys would like to connect directly with me, the best way to do so is to shoot an email to my team at info@success101podcast.com, or you can catch me in the world of social media on the Facebook Success 101 Podcast community page, on Instagram under the name @success101podcast, and over on Twitter under the name Warren Jared, where I mostly post relevant news articles and many other trending things when it comes to peak performance. I'll catch you guys on another awesome episode of the Success 101 podcast. Until then.